I anticipated your need and figured I would just drink it if you didn't.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our returning guest is Andrea Rapella. She's here to talk with us about the problematic history of J.K. Rowling. Ugh.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hello.
And our returning guest here with us today is Andrea Rapella.
Hi.
And we're going to talk about J.K. Rowling.
Yay.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, like, geeks without God, we're nerds. We have all taken the tests, and we know what houses we've been sorted into.
We've all read the books and seen the movies.
Yeah. Right. And it's one of the, you know, big three or four media franchises in, like, nerd pop culture, and its creator is super problematic.
She's a TERF.
Yeah.
Right, or a fart, if you prefer.
Yeah, so TERF stands for, and we've talked about this before, I think, but TERF stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist, but as Nick said, a fart is better, which stands for Feminism Appropriating Radical Transphobe. Which is what she fucking is, because you're not a feminist if you don't believe that trans women are women, because they are. So. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there's, Andrew, do you want to talk about, like, the, kind of, like, the history leading up to the more recent development? Like, in some people, something solidified something recently that maybe more people have suspected or been more sure of previously.
Sure. So, you know, in England there's sort of always been there for the past like 3 years or 4 years or so, there's been an undercurrent of TERF movement to try to actually exclude, you know, trans women from participating in like local politics and try to, you know, and trans services.
Keeping a lot of women's spaces.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, so every once in a while there will be, like, articles about how, like, trans women don't belong in, like, women's parties, like, political parties.
Right.
Trans women don't belong in, you know, at, like, women's movements. They don't belong in women's spaces. They don't belong places where we should be, really.
Yeah.
The kind of the history behind it really starts with J.K. Rowling kind of, you know, liking and retweeting these articles.
Yeah.
And, you know, commenting on things from transphobes. It's never been anything sort of direct.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, I remember seeing like, oh, she's retweeting, which is, I mean, retweeting something and liking something is a tacit approval.
An endorsement.
An endorsement.
Yeah. Right. It suggests that you actually read, interpreted, understood, and agreed with that thing.
Yeah.
Right,
you
exactly.
Don't usually just go, oh, well, here's an interesting thing in my feed that I know nothing about. I will retreat it.
You're not like, you're like, what's this like?
I've seen people respond to that sort of thing, you know, specific examples by saying like, oh, it looks like she's, you know, focusing on protecting cis women. It's not inherently transphobic. Like, there's a, like, talking about,
lots of excuses for that, yeah.
But yeah, that, pregnancy and stuff like that.
That in and of itself is transphobic.
Exactly.
Totally, right.
Yeah, anytime you say, I need to protect cis women, it's like, from what?
But, I mean, and like, I get the perspective that people have there, I think, if I'm recalling correctly, and I might be misspeaking here, but Julia Serrano is a trans feminist, and one of the things that she talks about is like internalized transphobia or trans misogyny, and like externalized transphobia and trans misogyny, and saying that you're trying to protect cis women is more of that, like, internalized trans misogyny or transphobia. Yeah.
Like, you don't realize it.
Yeah, you don't realize it.
It's just like when you say, when there are a lot of people who say all lives matter, mm-hmm. who don't get why that's racist.
Exactly.
They literally, they don't understand. Why is it racist for me to say all lives matter? It's because you're saying it in response to someone saying black lives matter.
You wouldn't say that statement except in response to...
Right.
It
right.
doesn't, people aren't going around saying all lives matter outside of the context of BLM.
And if all you care about is protecting women and women's spaces and women's rights, then why are you trying to figure out who's trans and who's not? Like, mm-hmm. why is that trying to matter to
yeah.
you?
Right. I don't have anything to add. I'm just like, yes, I agree with all of this, but hi, I'm still here.
But so there's been a history of this. There's been a pattern of her... liking people that say these things, liking these tweets that are mm-hmm. exclusionary.
For years.
Yeah.
For years. But very recently, there was, in her own words, she had transphobic shit to say.
Mm-hmm.
She said, hold on, I can find the actual tweet. But basically, it was like, dress however you want, call yourself whatever you want. Like, you know, act however you want. Like, the point is, you know, we're all people. But it was in response to, like, a woman who is getting, who got, like, fired because she was transphobic.
Right. And she got fired from a paper that is trying to clean up its image.
Yeah. Like, she was, and this, so this woman, Maya Forrester, or Forstetter, or something, like, had basically, there's a court case against her. And she was filing a wrongful termination suit, and the paper was firing back and saying, no, you were fired because of, you know...
She wasn't even fired. They just didn't renew her contract.
Oh, sure. Okay, so not even fired,
it's not even
invited back.
Like, on its face, outside of anything else, she wasn't terminated wrongfully because she wasn't terminated.
Right.
They chose not to renew her contract.
Right. And she got all mad about it, you know.
But also, like, fuck you. They don't owe you a job if you're going to be a transphobe.
Right. Like, Rowling tweeted in support of her after she lost her course.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I apologize. She wasn't part of a paper. She was part of a think tank.
Ah, yes. And so, like, the big thing with this is that the, I got the exact text. Dress however you please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consenting adult who will have you. Live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real. Hashtag I stand with Maya, hashtag this is not a drill. Mm-hmm. And so, but what she's saying is like, oh, Maya was just saying that sex, biological sex, is a thing, and, like, it should mm-hmm. matter, which is transphobic as shit.
Right,
like,
right.
And well, it isn't saying... It's
scientifically inaccurate.
Saying, call yourself whatever you like is saying...
Super dress transphobic however you
because,
please.
Because mm-hmm. it is implying that what you're calling yourself isn't the truth, but, you know, you live your truth, whatever, but it isn't saying that a trans woman who calls herself a woman is really a woman.
It's right. that...
I mean,
it's,
that that's what it sounds like to me. Am I completely wrong in believing that?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
Well, and the other part about this, too, that makes this even worse, and you can kind of put aside... You can also put aside the issues that have to do with transphobia and transphobe here. You have a beloved author that is supporting somebody whose case is being used as a test case to fight equal rights.
Yes.
Which, I don't really know how often you get into stuff like this, but in like the professional world, this is one of those things that I like to look at and watch because it's one of those things that I keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like right now in the US we have a similar issue with Title IX.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got argued before the Supreme Court.
Well, like the ERA, we have been trying for... I mean, we can't even get the ERA passed federally here.
So the Equal Rights Amendment.
Yes. And so, like, the Title IX, there is arguments in the U.S., in case people don't know or aren't from the U.S., about whether or not, you know, trans women are covered under Title IX, which is, like, guarantees women rights in... I think it's mostly college sports. Right?
It's sports, but it's also public spaces.
Yeah,
Yeah, like public accommodation.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, this is very important.
The whole like do whatever you want and call yourself whatever you want thing is so dismissive, and we've already been through this with like in the 90s and early aughts. It was like, oh, you know, whatever lifestyle choice you have in response to like anyone who is, you know, bi or gay, it's like, you don't understand that nobody is really choosing who they're attracted to much in the same way that no one is, like, really choosing
their gender, right?
That's you don't have a lot of control over that necessarily, and it's very dismissive of someone's entire large part of their identity to say, oh, choose whatever you want.
And the fight to get there. That's the thing. Like, you don't just like, you're not just like, oh, snap my fingers and it's all so easy and I'm a woman and everyone accepted that. Like, it's years of fighting, Andrea. Like, I mean, my God. And it's, and by the time you go public, it's been internal for decades sometimes. It's,
And when you're an out trans person that performs, like, you know, you, every time you actually do, you know, every time you're out there, you know, you do, you out yourself, and it things like this, you know, just bring visibility against those efforts.
Absolutely.
So when you have somebody that is like followed by children, loved by children, well, not just children, but like such a broad spectrum of people that's supporting an idea that you know, it, a harmful ideology, it's just wrong.
It's such a important part of pop culture that's kind of universal. Like everyone, even if you aren't familiar even if you aren't familiar with Star Wars, you know Luke, I am your father, and Han shot first, and like
a stormtrooper,
the pop cultural importance of it, and yeah, like that. That's worth recognizing that its creator is fucked.
Well, it's so hard.
And then that becomes, I mean, we've talked about before, you know, separating art from artists. But, I mean, this is a really challenging situation, right? You know, Harry Potter is huge.
Right.
Arguably, maybe the second biggest property to Star Wars in terms of
Marvel?
Pop culture relevance.
Maybe Avengers, but
maybe
it's,
Marvel
it's real
now.
Close.
Right.
It's real close.
You know, but it's top five, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And Marvel's more recent. Harry Potter's been around for, I mean, at this point, I feel like 20 years. And so the thing that's what's easy with this too is it's like, okay, you can still read the books. I can't because it bums me out now. But like you can still read the books. You can even still watch the movies if you already own them. You know, all your stuff you already bought, you know, you bought
it. Yeah, keep it, sure.
Keep it. If you feel like you still want to wear it. I know a lot of people whose hearts are broken over this because it's like a huge part of their identity. But like, there are so many people making money off Harry Potter that money does not go to J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can buy shit tons of stuff on Etsy if that's... But at the same time, it's hard because, like, am I making trans people feel like they have to wonder when they see me wearing a shirt that says, you know, Gryffindor, that I don't want a trans person to look at me and be like, oh, do I have an ally or do I have an enemy?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the signal you have to wonder about right now.
And it's sad, too, because, like I still like wearing my Harry Potter dresses that I have because there are some really cute Harry Potter dresses.
Yeah, man. Like, well, and I think that a big part of this, too, is, like, if she had just fucking said she was sorry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Like, all she had to do...
Or just fucking said nothing. Believed whatever the fuck she wanted to believe. Just like she says it's okay to.
If she
kept her mouth shut.
She had so much opportunity and so many warnings with all the liking and retweeting beforehand that
everyone would say,
to then come out and say it in her own words like this is, it seems like a double down in a way that it's like, it's more than just guilty of transphobia. It's guilty and transphobia when you know you're being watched for that behavior. You've already been criticized for it. You've already had people say like, hey, this is a deal breaker for me with your work and supporting you. And she went ahead and did that anyway. It's like, to support her now, despite that, feels like a real, I don't know, it feels extra bad. I don't know, I can't articulate that.
I would even say it's worse because when the first few things were like, hey, J.K. Rowling, this is a super transphobic account, or like, this person that you're retweeting is a fucking TERF, like, she's garbage, she's terrible. Her publicist at one point was like, oh, this is just a case of boomeritis. Yeah. Like, she's just, she fat fingered her phone. She didn't know what she was doing. Oh, she didn't realize what this, oh, she doesn't know Twitter. And like, they actually came out and said that shit.
Right.
So for it to be now, it's like, so you lied to cover it up? Like, Jesus.
Well, and then, so, I'm not familiar with her other work outside of the Harry Potter stuff, but, and we'll talk about, like, Dumbledore, for example, in a minute. But, Andrea, you had another example of her work that maybe people aren't as familiar with, where there's kind of some...
Pretty clear-cut
stuff that kind of may have predicted this.
Well, and it also could just be like indicative of not knowing how to write your characters too. Like, but you know, there's a Vice article. It's dated December 20th, 2019. J.K. Rowling's transphobia wasn't hard to find. She wrote a book about it, and it talks about how when she wrote as Robert Galbraith,
She wrote as Robert Galbraith.
Yeah.
She wrote under a man's name.
Right, exactly.
That's fucking ironic.
Well, yeah. No one was publishing her.
Oh, so she couldn't get published as a woman, so she changed her gender to... God damn it! Sorry.
No, nobody would publish an adult novel by her.
Like, it's almost like all of her TERF bullshit about, like, no, these are men just becoming women so they can gain access to our spaces. Bitch, you did that! Like, damn it! I'm sorry.
Yeah, at least when Stephen King wrote under a pen name, he just changed his name.
Right? And everyone knew it was him.
So anyway, in the scene, a trans woman, Pippa, follows and tries to stab the protagonist, Cormoran Strike, before getting trapped in Strike's office. After demanding Pippa's ID, her trans status is revealed and her visible Adam's apple is noted.
Ugh.
Well, it's noted that her hands were jammed in her pockets.
Wait, so she tried to stab him and then put her hands in her pockets real fast?
Yep,
wow.
Also, Pippa tries several times to escape the office porch before Strike finally says, if you go for that door one more time, I'm calling the police, and I'll testify and be glad to watch you go down for attempted murder. And it won't be fun for you, Pippa, he added. Now here's the worst thing, and trigger warning.
Okay, content warning for transphobia.
Not pre-op.
Oh my god. Oh my god. How does he know she's not pre-op?
I know, right?
What is she, like, naked from the waist down when she's stabbing him?
What?
Is that a signal when you put your hands in your pot? No, I...
Yeah, is that...
Yeah,
no,
I know, I know, I know.
That's some code.
Awful.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
That's so awful.
That is...
I'm guessing she's revealed because her license hasn't been updated and has her dead name or whatever.
But even then, like... I suppose Rowling wouldn't know this, but in many states you don't need to have any kind of complicated...
No.
Not in many. In a small number of states, but growing number of states.
But maybe in England, which I'm guessing is where the book takes place, because...
Yeah.
But still, that is really fucking disgusting.
That's...
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're putting that in your book as... And it sounds like that isn't relevant to anything, right? Like, other than, oh, here's a trans person that I'm going to use for a moment of...
Right.
That I'm going to make them the villain and then
a disposable foil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And, well, and that's what... minority characters have been in fiction.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Dumbledore thing now, I almost wish we had talked about that first because it feels less egregious. But, you know, for people that don't know, she retconned Dumbledore as gay after all the, you know, like just before the last movies came out or something.
No. I mean, to be fair, it was shortly after the release of book 7.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Book 7 came out, and she revealed a bunch of stuff about characters that wasn't in the book. And one of the things she revealed was that Dumbledore was gay.
Yeah.
But heaven forbid she write that into the book.
Right.
Yeah, well, there's a problem there, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's like, and you can go back and read the books, and I'm sorry, there's
no queer coding in the book at all.
Cujo had an eating disorder. You guys didn't know it, but it's a book about eating disorders. Like,
I mean, eating people could be considered.
See?
I don't know. I actually could read a subtext.
But then, you know, there was a clear opportunity to have Dumbledore, you know, noticeably gay. I don't know. That doesn't sound right. Mysterious Beasts, because the person...
Fantastic Beasts,
you mean
when he's being played by Jude Law.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he could have shown that relationship.
Yes. Right. The relationship that literally happens around those movies with him and the Nazi guy, played by the wife beater. What's his name?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. The character.
The wife beater.
The character, I don't remember his
name. Yeah. Evil guy. You know, Nazi guy. Whatever.
Grindelwald.
Grindelwald and Dumbledore, they're the item. Yeah. They're the couple.
I actually remember when they cast Jude Law thinking, oh,
that'll be a good couple.
This is going to be really cool that they're going to do this. Or we're going to see something.
Yeah.
Cowards.
No. We didn't even see, like, longing Tom Cruise glances across a room or anything. Like,
in order to get any of that from it, you have to, like, really invent a lot of headcanon to help it along and add it in yourself.
If you didn't know ahead of time, you wouldn't know.
And you can, I mean, you can queer code, like, you can, like, into a scene with people like that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Finn and Poe.
Yes.
Like, it's very easy to look at Finn and Poe and have the headcanon that
exactly.
Like, my favorite, though, was a tweet that said, Finn and Poe are gay, they just don't vibe on each other.
Yes.
It's like, they're just not into each other that way.
Frankly, I believe the opposite of that, if anything. They're not gay and they do vibe on each other.
Yeah,
like, there's too much chemistry there.
Yeah,
to,
they're just not into, they just don't want each other that way. Everything has to be about sex.
I'm frustrated, and I'm, you know, like, the least impacted person by her transphobia, really. But it's sad to see, and I don't know what are y'all doing about it. I mean, Molly, do you have anything that you're doing?
I stopped consuming all Harry Potter. I just don't fuck with it anymore. Honestly, like,
I didn't see the latest movie.
I just kind of don't. I'm just not. Man, I just can't. Like, I used to be, like, I'm a proud Gryffindor, and, like, would say, you know, I would offer to people, like, oh, don't say that super, you know, racist phrase, spirit animal, say Patronus, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, now I'm just like, you know, like, say Animagus or something. Like, I don't know, like, familiar.
There you go.
Like, that's, but it's...
Familiar's good.
Familiar.
It's okay.
Yeah, familiar's good. I mean, the Wiccans might get on you, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's, that's my take on it. And then just also being, I don't want to do that cancel culture thing where anytime someone is like, I'm a Slytherin, be like, J.K. Rowling's a TERF, just so you know.
Exactly.
You know, because no one,
I don't want a harsh.
No, but if someone is like, you know, and there's a lot of people who are actually turning it for good. Like, there are some Etsy shops that are like, who do Harry Potter stuff. They're like, I'm going to donate all of my proceeds for this month to, like, you know, Out Front or something, right?
Sure.
Like, so there's some good that can come out of this.
Sure.
I think about things like, okay, you know, Universal Studios in Florida is making gigantic piles of money.
I've always wanted to go, and I'm not going to.
And I haven't been to half of it. I want to go to it. And yet, at the same time, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think any of that money would even touch...
She's got to get a piece
She already got paid for it.
That's, probably.
But
that's beside the point.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of people who make money off of that aren't her.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, that's true. It's a hard balance.
And it's like... And My eldest, the
adult man, Harry,
like, the Harry, like, yeah, he's not a kid. My eldest adult,
it's just weird.
The first, like, science fiction fantasy books he got into were Harry Potter.
Yeah. Sure.
And he read them over and over and over again, and, you know, that was important.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So does that, and I mean, we've had a conversation about it, and I'm like, does it mean that he can't appreciate what she created and still acknowledge that she is terrible?
Yeah.
No.
In this regard.
You can still appreciate... I think you can still appreciate the fictional world. I mean, I still appreciate the... Okay, so... I don't really think that it's... I enjoyed the Harry Potter books. I think I love the world that that was created. I like other things equally as well, but I understand that a lot of people have a very, very deep connection to the material. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the houses and the sorting thing is pretty ingenious because it's tied to people's identity now.
Right, exactly.
And how they identify themselves to others and using terminology that's easy to understand, which is a little ironic, actually. I don't know.
Like, how can she be so fucked up when she's made this
thing? You're halfway there.
She literally made a book there. It's like, just be who you are, and that's where the magic is, you know? Uh-huh. And
Andrea, is this changing how you support her, or are you support, like...
I don't support her as a creator anymore. Like, if she ever releases anything new, I won't support it.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm 100% with that. We own that.
Yeah.
Would you go to the Wizarding World on a vacation?
I wouldn't go to the Wizarding World. I would go to Universal Studios again if something new and cool came out. Like we're actually likely going to take a trip to Japan next year.
Oh, cool.
And Japan's Universal has Nintendo Land.
So
I'm gonna go to Nintendo Land
and Harry Potter,
but I don't know. They might have some Harry Potter elements there too, because it's Universal connected.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that could be.
But
you don't have to go to them.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't just because it's part of it. It doesn't mean you have to participate in it.
If you're already paying to get into the park, and you're not buying any Harry Potter merchandise and whatever, and you can enjoy.
Yeah.
All the rest of the Harry Potter stuff there without specifically giving them Harry Potter bucks. That seems ethical to me.
The hard thing about Universal, Florida, for instance, is 90% of the people in that park are there because of Harry Potter.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that is literally the only reason I want to go there. I think that park's dumb.
But the Japan one sounds great. That's what she's saying.
Yeah. I also think, though, that... you know, if you kind of think about, you can also kind of think about like a theme park in the way that you think about a movie theater. Like a movie theater, you don't get money from the movie theater. Doesn't get money from the movies,
right?
Sure.
That they show, they get money from like the people that buy snacks and and you know, merchandise that they put for sale and that kind of thing. So I would imagine, you know, a theme park is sort of a similar boat. You know, if you're going to Wizarding World of Harry Potter, it's the only thing that you're actually contributing to somebody's bank account is if you're buying, like, wands and t-shirts. And
even then, she's just getting a fraction of your pennies, really.
And I
did read it. I know that there are some, you know, trans and NB people in the community that are like, no, fuck her. She doesn't get Harry Potter.
Right.
No, it's ours now. Like, we're taking it. It's ours now. Fuck her.
Yeah.
Who was it written by? Who can remember?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even matter. It just was spawned into being by nobody. And it's ours, you know?
Yeah.
And that's also a valid reaction.
That's
right, you know? Like,
I respect that.
Just don't say your name.
Yeah. Word.
I can't do that, though, because, you know, it's sort
and
of
that's, yeah,
the
that's,
same thing with Lovecraft.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
How about you, Nick? Is there anything for you that this feels...
Everything that I buy or consume or whatever that is Harry Potter related is non-licensed.
Yeah.
My pencil bag for my bullet journal stuff is non-licensed. I mean, that's, one of the nice things about being Slytherin is they are kind of, by and large, the villains, more or less, in a lot of people's eyes. So, like, the Slytherin merchandise isn't, like, super well served by licensed goods as well as the other three houses are anyway.
Yeah.
So if you want cool Slytherin stuff, you're buying it from someone on Etsy anyway.
Yeah.
So... Like, that's kind of the only stuff I've been buying. Or, like, if
also
I want to...
buying unlicensed stuff just because it has the stuff you want? True Slytherin.
Well, it's... I mean, like, I bought Well, and the other thing is, because, you know, a lot of clothes or whatever I wear aren't really, like, off the rack a lot of times anyways. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted a Slytherin baseball cap, so I bought a bootleg patch and sewed it on a hat, a green hat myself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can get pretty creative and get pretty far with that stuff, which I've kind of had to do anyway. So, I don't know. It's,
just,
I don't...
Just put a little, one of our Geeks Without God trans flag buttons right next to the Slytherin part on your hat, and then that marks you, you know, I just mark it clear.
It's actually on my Fantastic Four hat, taken off the Slytherin hat, because that was the hat I was wearing last. Yep. So, yes.
It, you know, that's
that
thing,
way it's unambiguous.
And not to be like, Andrea, you speak for all trans people, no. But like, to be honest, like, if someone is like, no, but I love my Harry Potter dress, if they are wearing like a flag pin lapel or something else that can indicate to people, look, I am, this is not, I'm not with her, mm-hmm. as it were, you know, like I'm with y'all. Is that, do you think that would be something
I wear my
helpful?
Pronoun pins usually when I'm wearing my... Oh. Dresses and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that wearing pronoun pins, especially if you are a cis person, is a good way to say "fuck you, J.K. Rowling." Is you know, like
it normalizes people being upfront about what their pronouns are and sharing that sort of thing. It also is a sort of subtle way of trying to identify yourself as an ally in a way, because it's kind of an ally move.
Ooh, maybe that's what our buttons can say this year for Convergence Around the Side. Fuck J.K. Rowling.
I thought you were saying we should make Geeks Without God pronoun pins. But,
that would also be good. Yeah, we can make two.
I like the other one, too. Awesome. Well, Andrea, this has been great. We're going to move on to five questions. Molly, do you want to start us off?
I made this a little song.
I know, I like that.
Question one, Andrea. What is a conspiracy theory that most intrigues or interests you? Your favorite.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I have one that sort of came to me as I was coming over here, but I'll tell you the one that I actually wrote down first.
Okay.
It's that Marlowe wrote Shakespeare. I hate that one, but I love it at the same time.
It's so stupid.
It's so dumb because Shakespeare wrote Shakespeare. There's no possible way Marlowe could have written Shakespeare.
Who's still alive that's like, fuck Shakespeare. He couldn't have written this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird. Mm-hmm.
Well, that entire story was born of classism.
Yeah.
Shakespeare was too poor and too uneducated to have been able to write those plays.
Right, exactly.
That is the basic central argument.
Next time someone says Marlowe,
somebody else wrote,
I didn't know that.
Next time someone says Marlowe wrote Shakespeare, I'm going to say, why do you hate the poor? And just see what they say.
Class war.
What's the one you thought of on the way here, though?
I was listening to the latest episode that you have live, and the talk of mattresses made me think...
Oh, mattress firm.
Yeah. Well, it actually made me think that purple mattresses aren't actually a real thing, and it's just something that podcasters sell.
Oh, my God. That's
like Bomba socks.
Yeah, like Bomba socks. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, they aren't actually a real product. It's just something that, like that's been Mandela'd into, like, the sexual consciousness. Like,
and no one ever checks them out, because why would you?
Like, they have a retail location, but no one ever actually buys anything from them.
If you go in there, it's like, well, there was a shop here, but it closed 100 years ago today. Yeah.
We don't have to talk about Bomba socks or purple mattresses because we have Patreon patrons, which is kind of dope.
Not to mention Adam and Eve. Sex toy needs Adam and Eve.
Tim, question three.
Really?
Two.
We're
going
to two, I mean.
Question number two, what's your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
Gosh, this one was actually tough because there are two places that I would spend 2 weeks in.
Okay.
And I couldn't decide between them. It was either going to be New York or Las Vegas. And Las Vegas, because if money's no object, there are so many different places in Las Vegas that nobody gets to see.
Yeah.
But there are also so many things to see in Las Vegas that you don't have the time to see that people don't ever really think about going to. Like, there's an entire museum dedicated to the history of atomic energy in Las Vegas.
What?
And
what?
It is amazing.
I want to go to that.
We need to go to that.
Yeah.
Can we go, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so cool. Like,
and think of all the high roller rooms you could see, because money's no object. So you could see, like, the rooms that, like, they make movies about, where it's like, they're like, oh, it'd be so cool at Vegas. Yeah.
There are members-only bars that you have to have a membership to join.
And a membership is like $1,000.
Right.
Like a month or something insane. Yeah, yeah. be very
super
cool.
Super opulent. Yeah.
You could take every penthouse in every of the big gorgeous hotels and be like, I'm gonna just give you the penthouse for the night and just go up there just to see it.
And New York, just because I would want to see like every single Broadway show.
Oh yeah.
No, even the shitty ones.
You could probably do that in 2 weeks if you saw a lot of matinees and just kind of crammed them in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You could make it happen.
If you built your schedule around it and price was no object, then yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus, you could just litter the streets with cash.
Yeah.
just everyone you see.
Here you go, bootleg Elmo.
I would love to make it rain on some really sad Times Square performers and just make their day.
That'd be awesome.
I got to go to the LinkedIn offices in the Empire State Building last time I was in New York. I didn't sign an NDA, so I actually get to say that.
That's cool.
It was so cool because, I got to go, we were going there for a party after a conference I was attending.
Yeah.
And we got to go through the non-tourist entrance.
Ooh.
So, my colleague and I, we walked up to the front door, the door that we got dropped off at in our lift, and, a bunch of tourists walked in right behind us, and this door guard was like, the tourist entrance is around the corner. Uh-huh. And we're like, oh, no, we're here for an event. So I feel like that's why New York would be amazing if money was no object.
Oh, yeah. Just be like, oh, excuse me, I guess you didn't know who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Question 3, what's a movie or book that changed your life and how or why?
Fortress of Solitude.
Hmm.
It's by Jonathan Lethem, and it is about gentrification in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's about two kids that meet in the middle and are united over their love of comic books. And it kind of follows their lives as they grow up and split apart. And it kind of shows how their lives change based on the privileges that are afforded to them.
Because of their neighborhood.
Well, not only because of their neighborhood, but because of their race, too.
Oh, cool.
One of them is white and the other is black. Sure. So,
Is it modern or when is it set?
It's set in, I think, the 80s.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I've been thinking about that one a lot lately, because I just watched Motherless Brooklyn, the movie that came out last year, which is based on one of Lethem's other books.
Okay. Huh.
Which is also really good. It's written from the perspective of somebody with Tourette's.
Oh, wow.
So, he does a good job of getting inside, the head of the protagonist.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number 4. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I used code names to teach, to do training at work.
Oh.
The game code.
Yeah, the game.
Yeah, that's a good game, and not just because I work for the company that makes it.
Yeah, I took some of the code names art, and I put together, I pasted on different code names, cards and stuff.
Yeah.
And used it to do terms for code names, so we played code names.
That is so cool. Huh. Did it work well at work?
It was super fun. People loved it. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that would probably, and they'd probably remember the training better because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gamification.
Yeah. Gamification.
Yeah.
We talked about that on an episode a year ago.
We did.
Yeah.
Question number 5. What is your favorite hangover cure?
1 potassium tablet, 2 aspirin, and a whole glass of water the night before you go to bed.
A potassium tablet? Do they make, is like a vitamin?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. That would work really well because
we eat bananas at Convergence because we know we're going to be drinking
and
running around and stuff. So we, and they're full of potassium.
I'm usually in those hooker heels all goddamn day. Yeah. So it helps with the calf cramps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Potassium tablets would be even easier though.
Yes. I will say that sounds like a great solution.
No, but you know what? That one might be a good solution for you because you do stay up and you do move around a lot. And the potassium would help with the fatigue because the lactic acid that builds up from that.
Get some magnesium in there.
Yeah.
They make those too. Sometimes we pair it with a magnesium tablet.
I'm all about this.
So this is some water, a couple of tabs.
This is some like modern science hangover cure, not the you need to drink Tabasco sauce out of an old army boot.
And so then, Tim, you just go, I took 2 tabs before bed and I'm still flying off the high.
And people would look at me like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Okay, boomer.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Andrea, for being our guest and for talking with us about this and kind of filling us in on some of the stuff we didn't know about with J.K. Rowling. If you folks have, you know, feelings or opinions on this, boy, like, we'd love to hear them as long as they're not shitty. Like, I mean,
if you want to educate yourself, just Google J.K. Rowling TERF, and you will find TERF, and it's, you will find a wealth of articles.
There's an abundance of information out there that's very easy to find with very little effort if you want to verify any of this or find any of this, these examples we've talked about. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God. And we'll have another episode up next week, as always. Thank you to all our Patreon patrons. We really appreciate your support. Otherwise, you know, like us on Facebook, Twitter, and give us a rating on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yeah.
And have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hogwarts smells like a fart.
We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
We're just gonna keep finding out that people are shitty.